What's with the attitude? You ever have somebody say that? You ever think about that about somebody? What's with the attitude? Where did you get that attitude from? Somebody might say that they're either an optimist or a pessimist, because an attitude is a mindset. It's a way of seeing or thinking or believing about people or life or ideas. What's with the attitude? Some people have a really pathetic attitude. In fact, you don't want to hang around them because the glass is always half empty. They're always full of gloom and doom, and it's almost as though the closer you get to them, pretty soon the stench of their stinking attitude starts to penetrate your garments as well. But there are other people who have an uplifting attitude. They're an optimist, and the cup is always half full or overflowing, and you like being around them because they generate energy, and they actually give you life. They lift you up. Attitude is everything. St. Paul, in his letter to the church at Philippi, is talking about attitude. Have this mind among yourselves, mindset, attitude, perspective, which is already yours in Christ Jesus. Which is already yours in Christ. In Christ, in the Bible, in the New Testament, is always Bible code language. Whenever you see en Christos, in Christ, it means Christ in you, you in Christ. It's Bible code language for baptism. So when is it, where is it, how is it that we get this mindset, this attitude of Christ that's already ours, Paul says? In baptism. We don't have to earn it. We don't have to purchase it. Paul says it's already ours in Christ. In the covenant of baptism, when we die and rise with Jesus, the old mindset, which is set on the self, not self-emptying, but self-glorifying, inflating the self, being full of the self, all of that is drowned through daily repentance. So that day after day a new self can arise to live with God in righteousness and purity forever. We already have the mind of Christ, Paul says. He says it to us in the 21st century. He said it to the church at Philippi in the first century. And Paul said it while he was in prison under house arrest. Philippians is called Paul's epistle of joy. And Paul says in this short little letter, complete my joy. How? By being of the same mind. And then Paul will say, don't do anything from selfish ambition or conceit. In other words, it's not about, well, what's in it for me? What am I going to get out of this? Is this to my benefit or advantage? Paul says that's not the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is not saying selfish, but the self that surrenders and empties and pours itself out for another. Have this mind among yourselves, which is already yours in Christ Jesus. The mindset, the perspective, the attitude, the way of seeing that is in Christ. Already yours, a gift, a given, a promise. Attitude is everything. Two men sent to an island. Both are salesmen. Both sell shoes. The first one gets to the island, notices that everybody is barefoot. He says, what were they thinking sending me here? No customers at all. This is a waste of my time. There's no market for shoes here. The second person looks at the same clientele and says, they're all barefoot. Everybody needs shoes. The market is all mine. Attitude, perspective, mindset. It makes all the difference in the world. Have this mind, which is already yours in Christ Jesus. Two people looking for a church. One person goes into a church because they're all pumped up about evangelism. But they come into a congregation and nobody wants to share the love of Jesus or their faith with somebody else. So they decide they're going to have to go look for another congregation. The second person comes into the same congregation and says, nobody wants to share the love of Jesus, that nobody wants to be a witness. No wonder God sent me here, because this is something I can do with them. Attitude, mindset, perspective. You probably heard this story about the little boy, a little tyke going in the backyard, wanting everybody to know what a great baseball player he was. So he shouts out, I'm the greatest hitter in the whole world. He's got this little baseball cap on. He's got a bat in one hand. He's got his ball in the other hand. He tosses it up, takes a swing. Strike one. Shouts out so that everybody in the neighborhood can hear, I'm the greatest hitter in the world. Tosses the ball up, takes a swing at it, misses it the second time. He shouts out to everybody after he says, strike two. I'm the greatest hitter in the world. He tosses the ball up for the third time, takes a swing at it, misses it, and then he says, wow, strike three. I'm the greatest pitcher in the world. You see? Perspective, mindset, attitude. Have this mind among yourselves, which is already yours in Christ Jesus. The eve of Palm Sunday, the beginning of Holy Week is upon us. We've been walking with Christ, caked in his dust through the season of Lent. And now, in Holy Week, we watch and we participate in this act of dying and rising. He comes into Jerusalem. Everyone figures that he's arriving to claim the throne, to get rid of the Romans. Hosanna, save us! They wave palm leaves because in the history of Israel, palm leaves were always recognized as flags of victory. Flags of victory. We win! And then, before the week ends, Jesus is executed on a cross. Have this mind among yourselves. Palm Sunday begins not only with palm leaves, but all glory, laud, and honor to you, Redeemer King. And on Good Friday, the song that we sing is, O Sacred Head, Now Wounded. Despised, bearing our sin and our shame. And in between it, Paul proclaims and sings, even while under house arrest, even when they've tried to muzzle him, he says, they gave me a megaphone. I can magnify the Lord now. There's a megaphone, and he's preaching it and saying it as loud as he can, that nothing and no one can defeat the work of Christ. The victory is already ours. That's what the word gospel means. Paul's hymn, the Christ hymn, may have been written by Paul. It may have already been circulating in the first century. It may have been written by the congregation in Philippi. All we know for sure is that it tells the whole mission of Christ. Jesus, who though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped or exploited, but he emptied himself. He poured himself out. He became obedient unto death. He became in human form, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and placed on him the name that is above every name. In the Christ hymn, we hear about the proclamation of the preexistence of Jesus. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We hear about the incarnation, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth. And from his fullness have we all received grace upon grace. We hear about his death, crucified on a cross, the most shameful way of execution in the first century. We need to understand that even though he was in the mind of God, in the form of God, he emptied himself, he humbled himself. And humility was not a virtue in the first century. You wanted to be a person of substance. And the last thing, the very bottom that you could get, would be to be crucified on a cross. Cursed be anyone who hangs on a tree. Cursed be anyone who hangs on a tree. He bears that curse, our sin, our shame. He takes it to Calvary. The one who humbled himself, emptied himself, poured himself out. And Paul says, have this mind among yourselves. It doesn't surprise us because Jesus was constantly saying to his disciples, if you want to follow me, you have to deny yourself. Not exert yourself, not exploit yourself, not fill yourself with yourself, but empty yourself, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. Paul says, have this mindset, this attitude, this perspective, which is already yours. Not so different in our world today than it was then. You don't have a lot of people that are emptying themselves. And if they do, they're worried that instead of being a door to Christ, they might become a doormat instead. You have examples in your own life of where you've worked really hard and then somebody else stole the credit. We have examples of people who want to be on the main stage, in the limelight, getting credit for everything, a lot of which they've done nothing for. That's not the mindset of Jesus. Now, we've already got the mind of Christ. Paul says, so use it. Employ it. Practice it. Exercise the mind of Christ in daily life. Let your life be worthy. Operate your life, Paul will say to the Philippians, in a manner that is worthy. It adorns the gospel in a good way. Don't be conceited, but instead, like Christ, exercise compassion. Imagine what the mindset of Christ would be instead of saying, well, what's in it for me? A person were to turn and flip things around and say, will this be good for you? Will this bring blessing and benefit to you regardless of what it does to me? The mind of Christ, which is already yours. Attitude is everything. Three times in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus will tell his disciples that the Son of Man is going to go up to Jerusalem where he will be humiliated, where he will be crucified in the most shameful way, and on the third day rise from the dead. And the disciples never can quite understand, wrap their heads around it. Remember James and John? The third time that Jesus had proclaimed his impending death on the cross, James and John come up to Jesus. As soon as he's done speaking, they say, you know, Jesus, we're kind of wondering if you could maybe do us a favor. We know that your kingdom is imminent, and you're going to need some advisors, some right and left-hand men, and we've been with you from the beginning. So would you grant us to have those seats of honor when you're reigning and ruling? Do you remember what Jesus said to them? Are you able to drink my cup? Are you able to be baptized with my baptism? Oh, yeah! And then Jesus says, well, the seating arrangements, they're up to my Father. That's his business. But because you asked for it, you're going to get it. You will drink my cup, and you will be baptized with my baptism. And you remember the other 10? There are 12 disciples. Remember the other 10? They're just standing there watching this saying, way to go, guys. Way to assert yourselves. Wish we'd thought about it first. No. When they saw what James and John did, they became indignant. And I don't know if there was fists flying, but you can bet there were a lot of words flying, words that couldn't be repeated in Scripture. All we know is that they were so indignant that there was a major conflict among the disciples. And Jesus looked at them and said, "Are you guys ever going to get it? This is exactly the way the Gentiles operate. This is the way pagans live from day to day. The Gentiles, they love to lord it over one another. They love to see who's number one and who's the big shot and who can be the oppressor over everybody else. That's the way the Gentiles operate. That's not the way it's going to be with you. You want to be first? Then you got to be last. You want to be greatest? Then you have to be servant and slave of all. Have this mind among yourselves, which is already yours in Christ Jesus." Attitude is everything. A rather arrogant young woman, graduated from college, went off, got a job, thought very highly of herself. She sends a text home to her mom and dad that says, "I've only been here for a month, and they've already promoted me to supervisor. A feather in my cap." 2-3 months later, she sends another text to mom and dad. "They really like me. I'm into management now. Another promotion. Another feather in my cap." 1 month later, another text to mom and dad. "Fired. Send money to fly me home." Mom and dad sent a text. "Money not necessary. Just use your feathers." The Bible says, "Whoever exalts themselves will be humbled. And whoever humbles themselves will be exalted. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed upon him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Have this mind, which is already yours." Attitude is everything. A father had two sons. The one son, an eternal optimist, the other, an eternal pessimist. The father filled the one son's bedroom, the one that was an eternal pessimist. He filled it with toys and all kinds of fun things. He wanted to see if the attitude of his son would change. He went in there and he said, "Wow, look at all this stuff." And you know what the son said? "Ah, Dad, who would do this to me? I got to put all this stuff together. I've got to read the directions. I don't have time for this. And once I get it all done, then the neighborhood kids are going to want to come over here and play with all my stuff. Who would do this to me?" And then he put in the other room, the eternal optimist son, a pile of manure. Horse manure. I kid you not. And then he goes back into the room and he sees his son in there digging through all of this horse manure with a big smiley face. And he says to his son, "What are you doing?" And the son says, "You can't fool me. Where there's this much horse manure, there's got to be a pony somewhere." Attitude, perspective, mindset. Have this mind among yourselves, which is already yours in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ. What does that mindset look like? Well, Paul's in prison. His days are numbered. He's using his imprisonment as a megaphone rather than a muzzle. He's using every breath he takes to tell people about Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all, who is Savior. He wants to participate fully in the sufferings of Jesus so that he can also participate fully in the resurrection of Jesus. He will say to the Philippians, "For me to live is Christ, and for me to die is gain." Bring it on. Forgetting what lies behind, straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let those who are mature, Paul says, be thus minded. Edna Hong wrote a book on Philippians years ago called The Downward Ascent. Best book on Philippians I've ever read. We think to press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call means to keep elevating and exalting the self. The only way up, she said, is the path that descends and ends at the foot of the cross, where we share the humiliation of Christ crucified, and where we die, and by grace alone, are lifted up. St. Paul says, "My God will supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." In Christ. Christ in. Christian? In Christ. All of the riches of God's glory has been given to you, baptized child of God. You already have the mind of Jesus. What's with the attitude? Amen.